Good evening, everyone. I'm Legal Shield Millionaire Club member Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Monday, February 19th, 2018, More Success Team Legal Shield Conference Call. I want to remind everyone to make sure and pre-register for a More Success Team breakout session that will be held on March 18th while you're attending the International We Are Legal Shield Convention. It'll be held at the Cox Convention Center in Oklahoma City. Just go to moresuccessteam.com. Tickets are $15 online and $20 at the door. Our international convention and Legal Shield's biggest event of the year, and it's just about 3 weeks away. And I also want to let you know that we still have just a very few $39 tickets left to the convention. If you're interested in one of those, either contact me or Pat at the office. Again, my mother, Ms. Shirlene Moore, which is on the line tonight, my son, Jeremy, also on the line, and I, and of course our families, each want to again thank each of you for the outpouring of love and generosity that we have actually felt from associates all over North America. Mr. Moore's passing, my dad has been so hard on our team and our family, but we all know he is in a much better place, at peace and out of pain. He loved Legal Shield, and of course he loved each and every one of you. Now it is my pleasure to introduce tonight's special guest speaker. Legal Shield's Chief Commercial Officer, Mr. James Rousseau, has over 20 years of professional leadership experience in finance services and retail industries. He joined Legal Shield in 2014, and prior to joining our team, James served as the president of Allstate Affinity Solutions, where he launched a number of unique, innovative partnerships with companies such as United Airlines, Bass Pro Shops, and Intercontinental Hotels, differentiating Allstate in the insurance industry. We are very fortunate to have him on our executive team at Legal Shield. Mr. Rousseau, welcome to the call, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Liberty, sir, and talk to our team. We appreciate you being on tonight.
Excellent. Well, good, happy to be here. First of all, obviously, my condolences, happy to be here, want to just spend some time, and I'll try to keep to the agenda, and certainly if there's any questions along the way, feel free to jump in and ask them, and I'll try to leave some time at the end as well for some Q&A. So what I had for the questions that were presented to me were to explain some of the things I do in my new role as Chief Commercial Officer some of the things I'm looking forward to in our future in 2018. So I'll try to cover both of those topics in about 20 minutes or so. So the role is not new now. It's been about a year. I entered the role, so just to step back for a second, in 2016 I brought Mr. Glenn Peterson into the company to run our broker division. I think that was around, October, November-ish of 2016, with the plan that he would succeed me as president of Business Solutions. In my growth, Mr. Bell had started talking to me, September-ish or so, and said, hey, you know, if you're going to be a CEO one day, you need to get into the C-suite and do some different things and expand your career. And while I had done some things like managed products and such before, there were some parts of this role that I'm in now I had not done before. And as we all know, you need to continue to stretch your career. Now, I'll be honest, I wasn't initially ready to do it. So those who know Jeff, he pushes and got a couple board members to push me as well. And finally I said, okay, all right, let's go, let's do it. And so my new role that took on going into the new year of 2017 as Chief Commercial Officer really have four major pieces to it. One, owning the products for the company. So everything we call as a product, and a lot of things, quite frankly, we use the word product very liberally inside of our company. So when we think products, of course, it means our Legal Shield plans, including, you know, the family plans for Legal Shield, ID Shield, the small business plans, commercial, driver's plan, all the teacher's plan, and all those subsidies. It also meant our new products such as Launch. It also meant all our small business plans. We also use products to represent a lot of our capabilities as well. So it meant our mobile applications. It means things we call like Enhance, which is the things that face off against our attorneys and how we think about Enhance and Elevate and the conferences and all those different things that face off against our attorneys. And a couple other things too, like Adonis, which is our project to move from our mainframe platform to a cloud-based platform and take us into the future. So I took on the product team. That was one part of the job. The second part of the job was strategy, really taking our strategy and figuring out how we were going to move into the future? We know we want to grow tenfold, but how will we do it? What's the plan step by step, not just for the foreseeable next quarter, two quarters, three quarters, four quarters, but at 3 to 5 years, what does that look like? That was the second part of the job. Third part of the job was brand advocacy. How will we be outside in the market? How do we raise our image, our cachet, if you will? How do people become to know Legal Shield at a deeper level, at a broader level, have a different perspective of us? And then the fourth and final part of the job is what we call organizational alignment. So all the people components of the job, including the HR team that reports up to me and all our people elements. So all the training and such that you even see that comes out to associates, those teams report to me as well. And so that's what started in, gosh, I want to say January, February of 2017. What we did in 17, it was great. Great learning experience for me. Had a lot of fun from, I'll start with the last part first on the organizational alignment perspective, really focused on employees. One of the things we did is just really worked on employee satisfaction. We took our employee satisfaction scores to an all-time high. We focused on really three major things, clarity of vision inside the four walls in Ada, and our other sites in Richardson and New York City, clarity of vision and making sure our supervisors were approachable and having a motivated workplace. We listened to our employees. Can you guys hear me okay? We listen to our employees a couple times during the year. We survey, if you don't know this, we survey employees inside the company. And during the course of the year, we actually won two outside acknowledgments as well, as being noted as top employers in the country. One was in the Oklahoma newspaper and publication. Another one was another, I can't think of the publication right now, but we're very proud of the work we've done. And then in the fall, again, we hit an all-time high of our employee satisfaction. Second thing we did for our employees is launched a new system, an ERP called Workday. For those who operate in a group business, Workday is it was developed by the same person who developed PeopleSoft back in the day, Duffield. And Workday is a new ERP enterprise resource platform that can help run your company as a system. And we've deployed it outside our company to run HR, financials. We'll run business planning, procurement, so on and so forth, and we're really proud of that system. It's taken us light years ahead. We can do things, whether on laptops, tablets, even our mobile phones, such as approve expenses, submit payroll, make all those kind of changes, et cetera. So, again, taking us light years ahead. And you think about, think about some of the things Dave Savula used to tease us about. Ada spelled the same way, coming in and going out, and we think about a lot of the olden days where we've really taken – moved some light years forward in some of the technology we've recently deployed, and we'll continue to do so. From a strategy perspective, last year we really developed and deployed the first strategic plan for the company, and I know that's hard to believe because you think about it. Mr. Stonesifer had done some incredible things during his time with the company, Mr. Bell, and in between there, Mr. Mason and Alan Fernley did some incredible things as well, and so has Mr. Jeff Bell. But all would say, while each one of those folks had vision and knew exactly what they wanted to do, in terms of taking those things and putting them into a written plan that gives you in-depth insight into the markets we want to compete in, into the products, into the competition, into why those areas make sense for us to further invest in or new markets to invest in, new products to go into, et cetera. We didn't have in-depth written plans, so we deployed the first plan in full writing, a 65 to 70-page Word document, detailed plan that was submitted to Jeff Bell, the OCE, which is the Office of the Chief Operating Officer, so that's all Jeff's direct reports, and then subsequently our Board of Directors in May of 2017, which was very well received and has become our document. And, Mid-Ocean Partners, turned and said, wow, we normally would have paid an investment bank to do something like this, and, good that you guys have taken it and done it upon yourself. So that was a major accomplishment for us from a strategy part of my team. And then we started to, in the latter half of the year, really now work on what we call our five-year evergreen plan, and that's more of a goal that I'm working on right now for 2018. How do we really have the components of a plan that says, we know what we're going to do from right now through 2023, what are those blocks? And we're working on that actively. Literally this week we have a number of planning sessions to continue to fill in some of those blocks, if you will, that take us through 2023. From a product perspective, you saw most of the things we did in product last year, everything from the mobile app and the WILL questionnaire the ID Shield. We deployed so many improvements through the year, whether it was the vault on the web, then we did the app deployment. We deployed social media monitoring, retail store cards monitoring, so on and so forth. We did the Aaron and our chat bots on web and on the phone, et cetera. And then in the fall, we deployed the freemium product, just to name a few. We did so many things as a product. I could spend, you know, 20 minutes talking about product alone. One of the things I want to talk in depth about is one of the big things that goes hand in hand between product and brand advocacy, which is our Legal Shield Law Index. And this is one of the things you wouldn't see a lot, and that's kind of on purpose. You really shouldn't. We look back, and Jeff asked the question, I think it was probably summer or so of 2016. You know, if you looked at our data, would our data tell you anything interesting about the market? And we took some of our data, about 15 years worth, back in 2002, out to some economists named Keybridge down in Washington, D.C., and they looked at our data and said, you know what, there's a lot of interesting things that we would tell you about this data. And they compared it to several commonly used indices out in the market and came back to us and said, you know, we capture right now, when people call our law firms, we capture over 70 areas of law. Now, what we publish, right, we often put on the website is the top 15, because, you know, that makes sense. It's the top 15. No, none of us should try to remember the top 70, but there's over 70 that we capture. What the economist said to us is, if you boil them down less than 30 or so, those 30 or so, depending on how you pull them together, tell you a lot about the economy. And what we decided to do is really publish those that are the most telling. And we created what we call the Legal Shield Law Index. And we published the first one in May, and I remember it because we published it right when I think it was the second day when we were on the Performance Club trip in Jamaica, right? It was Jamaica last year, if I remember correctly. And we published it in May. It was really a momentous event because the day we published it, we had space in Times Square in New York City with the Legal Shield Law Index logo bright and clear. It has five components. It has two composite indices, and I'll explain that in a second, and then three detailed indices. The first one's called the Consumer Financial Stress Index. And what it does is it takes our bankruptcy, foreclosure, and estate planning areas of law and wraps that into a composite index. And it compares against the Consumer Confidence Index created by the Conference Board. Now, you have to, for those who are into economy or watching the news, if you watch the news at the top every month, the same folks come on the top every month on Bloomberg, CNBC, so on and so forth, and talk about what they expect to happen in the marketplace. And our thing is, you know, we have a lot to share. We have a story to tell. We have mounds of data. We're credible. We don't want to displace all those folks, but we certainly want to seat next to those folks. We want to get that airtime as well. And we have a premise that we don't pay for advertising. We don't pay for billboards. We don't pay for airtime on radio and TV. But we should be using the power of our data and the power of our service and our noble cause to get that time, and this is a way to do it. This is a way to elevate our brand. So one of the things we did is that's the first thing. We compared ourselves against the Conference Board to say our data compares against yours, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second, of how good it compares against the Conference Board. Second thing we published is what's called the Housing Activity Index, and that compares against the housing starts against the U.S. Census Bureau. And then the last three are more detailed. I won't go through those. So what we did when we published them in May, we made some statements. And every month we publish these with the press release. We talk about what the data means and what it tells. And here are some of the things we said. One, our data is unique. Because of our proprietary law firms, this is data you can't get anywhere else. Okay? From far as we've seen, there's no one else who has these proprietary set of law firms, who has this unique set of data, and no one has challenged us on that yet. Two, there's a high level of frequency of the data, okay? So because of how many calls we get, over 1.7 million intakes a year, and even when you channel it down to this set of data I'm talking about, it's over 80,000 intakes a month. When I talk to folks who are quote-unquote quant-oriented, I was in a session about 4 weeks ago with a group called Quando up in New York, in a room with a bunch of hedge fund guys. And if you can imagine being in the room with 300 hedge fund guys, it's overwhelming, okay, the brain power in that room. I'm not smart enough to be with 300 hedge fund guys, okay? But I will tell you, when I hit the stage and talked about 80,000 intakes and the power of that data, it captured their attention, okay? So that's the second point. The third point is how robust the data is. So, for example, with the conference board, one of the things we told them is our data leads your data by 1 to 3 months. So, for example, when the crash happened back in 2008, when the market crashed and mortgages happened and subprime loans hit the market, we would have predicted the market would have crashed sooner. And they said, no, you got to be kidding. That can't be true. You can't make a statement like that. We're like, no, let's show you. We showed them the charts. We showed them our data. We showed them how the charts were plotted. And we said, now, let's just talk through. We'll show you the charts, and we'll show you the logic. Let's just talk through how this works. When a consumer has a problem, who do you think they call first when they believe they're going to claim bankruptcy? Their attorney, right? Okay, now, let's think through this. What are you doing, and how do you secure your data? Your data is based on consumer sentiment. So you send out surveys and ask people how they feel about the economy. Those are two different things between what people do and what people feel. People always say differently about how they feel. For example, and I worked in credit card for a long time. I worked in the credit card industry for 7 years, okay? When you ask people if they intend and if they feel they're going to pay their credit card off at the end of every month, everyone says, absolutely, I'm going to pay my credit card off. I'm not going to carry a balance. The percentage of people that do that, usually less than 10%, okay? So the reality of what people do and what people feel are very different. And so over the last 7 months, we've created a very good relationship with the conference board to the extent that last week I actually did a webcast with them in New York from their offices because now they finally conceded and said, you're right, your data does lead our data. It is strong in that regard and predictive, and we need to be partners and share this together. What we've also done over the last 6 months to the point of raising our credibility is we started sending this to every attorney general of every state, and we started that process, I want to say, in June. So 1 month after we released it, we worked with, why is his name escaping me right now? Mike Turpin, our former attorney general from Oklahoma, who also sits on the advisory board for Legal Shield. We got all the information about all the AGs from around the country. I also went to sit at CWAG and present at CWAG in San Francisco, which is the Conference of the Western Attorney Generals, and presented this to them and showed them our data. And what's important about this is not only do we give them the index and all the charts, but we also give them a detailed spreadsheet of all the areas of law and by state, so they can see and click on the drop-down and say, if I'm Attorney General Racine from Washington, D.C., I can see every area of law and what's happening in D.C. So I can see consumer finance and how many intakes there were in the month of February or January. I can see how many intakes there were for traffic, how many intakes there were for estate planning, so on and so forth. And then I can look back over the last 18 months and see the trends. I can also then click and see how that compares to my AG counterpart in Illinois. Why is that important? I can see how I'm doing comparatively. I can see how I'm doing from a trending perspective. And as I learn and see what's going on, right, I can make adjustments. And how we learn this, quite frankly, we didn't learn this just, you know, by osmosis. We spent time with AG Racine's team in D.C. So J.C. Watts, one of our advisory board members, former House of Representatives leader there, took me down to D.C. He's hosted me in D.C. about three times to meet with members of Congress, all about our data. This is all from using this Legal Show Law Index data that we started publishing back in May. So I've been down to members of Congress three times with J.C., well, but three times with him, once without him. And what we did is we sat down with certain members of Congress and walked them through this data, and they're amazed, right, at how insightful this is. What we also did then is said, we'll give this to you. And, then, you know, of course, they're going, well, okay, wait a minute. There must be a catch here. What are you looking for? No, this is free. This is free for government use, okay? So we give this to them free. We then said to the AGs, we want you to use it. What we want from you as you use it, obviously, is testimonials, and we'll use the testimonials. We'll publish those on our website, so on and so forth. We give you this data for comparative analysis, so on and so forth. And then last month, what we started to do is also now take this data in its rawest form and begin to pivot that towards the commercialization of data for those who may want to buy it. That is probably going to be hedge funds, financial institutions, insurance underwriters, et cetera, to the extent they can understand macroeconomic shifts and such, right, and have an edge against their competitors by using our data, they're going to want to buy that data. You should also know that we never violate attorney-client privilege. This is all anonymized data fed into database, et cetera, without, again, violating attorney-client privilege. So that's some of the things we've been doing there. So the relationships we've built both in the government sector, attorneys general, Congress, members of Congress, White House policy. We've visited White House policy folks as well, Small Business Administration, and other members of the D.C. elite, if you will, has been amazing over the last 6 or 7 months. And, again, raising Legal Shield's name from just being another quote-unquote company, another network marketing company, another employee benefits company to a company that has a role to play in the economy, if you will. So that's been an amazing story. One other point I was asked to talk about then is kind of 2018 and my goals and some of the things I expect. So following up on that, I would just say, you know, with the Legal Shield Law Index, what I expect is AG usage regularly, again, being used as a point of reference. It was AG Racine's team who told us that most people do not know how to use an attorney general's office. They usually don't have any data. They don't have any insight. They don't know what's working, what's not working. They don't know what they're, you know, what is happening effectively with the communications they put out, how they deal with different issues like opioid and things like that. And this gives them a real sign of what's happening, right? So we really plan for that to happen. Two, I plan for our data to be sold this year to hedge funds and such. From a strategy perspective, I believe we will lay out and have a very robust plan within the next 2 weeks, and that we have a board meeting in March while we're at the conference, and that I'll be able to walk through different elements of this plan that I believe will set the stage for a big next 3 years that we all should be really excited about. One of the biggest things, quite frankly, I think has to happen this year is an explosive growth through the freemium app. And you know, we have right now the things we're seeing in recruiting are amazing and level of qualification are amazing. I still do believe, though, that the freemium app is underutilized because of the concept of what freemium really means. And I always like to take a step back. So last year, the American Bar Association published a report. I can't think of the name of the report right now, but if you search on it, you can get it. It's free on the American Bar Association site. In that report, the most grabbing statement is 100 million people go with civil legal needs unmet on an annual basis, 100 million people. And civil legal needs are the most basic legal needs. These are legal needs like my landlord tossed me out inappropriately and I can't get legal help, right? The unemployment insurance agency won't give me my unemployment insurance and I cannot get legal help, right? And if you look at that side of the scenario, and if you look at the public defender's office, if you look at legal aid services corporations and things like that, a lot of these areas do not have the capacity to help people, right? And not that the freemium is going to totally fill the gap, but here's what it does. It helps people at least get some answers to many questions that they don't know where to go to otherwise, right? Ignorance is no solve. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to legal matters, right? And what the freemium does is, to me, it's like, you know, when you first found Pandora 7-8 years ago and you got Pandora for the first time, you're like, great, this is free music. This is awesome. And then a couple months later, you know, you're on the treadmill running and you hear this commercial and you're like, wait a minute, why am I hearing this commercial? And it was like, it was a 15-second commercial. Like, okay, I can deal with it. Then the 15-second commercial became the one-minute commercial. And you're like, then they said, well, if you don't want the one-minute commercial to happen anymore, simply pay $1.99 a month. And you're like, you know what? It's worth it. You pay the $1.99 a month and you become a member and you forget about it and you love the experience and you move on. It's the same thing here. So you give away the freemium. You have the person get used to asking these questions, used to getting forms. And by the way, the strategic part of having forms as the part of the freemium app is, has been our strategy for a long time. We don't like to mention the name of those folks, but Legal Zumba, okay? Forms have no value. The value is in dealing with the attorneys, okay? You fill a form out wrong and file it incorrectly and don't get the right outcome, that is not a win. The win is in the attorneys. It is the intellectual nature and the engagement with our attorneys, whether it's starting your business or getting the right type of corporation with the right information, or whether it's any other thing you're going to do with a form. The value is in the attorney. We'll give you the form, right, except for a will questionnaire and a couple other special forms. So we need to give out the freemium in mass and make sure, and so long as you get this, the day cookie codes are gone. If you give away the freemium from the Prospect app, whether 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 quarters, 2 years, when they buy it, right? When their curiosity has finally hit its peak and they buy it, that membership is credited to you and you'll get your commission. So I think this is going to explode. So that's another goal of mine, is to see the freemium act explode. The last thing I would say is, from a people and work perspective, you know, I have major goals around level of qualification rates, major goals around Legal Shield Business Solutions, and seeing really post-training 30, 60, and 90-day production scores going through the roof, and for our providers to continue to see our net promoter scores go up. And so those are some of my major goals this year. So with that, I will, Mr. Moore, turn back over to you, and I'm happy to take any questions folks may have.
Randy, you're on mute.
I was talking, but nobody was listening. Listen, I appreciate you being our guest tonight. You have some great information there, and we have several of our Millionaire Club members may have a question or two. So let's quickly go out to the state of Alabama and to Millionaire Club member Mr. Jimmy Parrish. Jimmy, have you got a question or comment for Mr. Rousseau?
I do. Good to hear your voice, sir.
Good to hear you, Jimmy Fee.
Yes, and great memories of ED banquets and more team retreats with you. And one of the memories I have, first and foremost, was during your days as heading up our solutions division, and you were talking about some of the things we got in, getting input from employees. And I remember the time when we had listening sessions in Chicago and Dallas and L.A., and there were different ones of us who were brought in. And I know from talking with you since then, that was very eye-opening to corporate. And I know it was for us in the field to be able to be brought in from the, on the solution side of the business to talk about some direction and things we'd like to see. And I know a lot of those things were implemented in those listening sessions. And I didn't know from your position, you know, being there closely tied to the cabinet, and just I know in your role it's different now, Chief Commercial Officer, but do you envision anything like that down the road in your planning ahead through 2023 with both networking, broker, maybe a commercial driver, solutions, those kinds of things, as we strategize moving forward into the next decade?
You know, it's a good point, Jimmy. I hadn't, but you just provoked a thought. You know, it to me, it was one of the best things we did together, right? I'm just a big advocate of learning on the street, and so that's why I had done those tours back then. I thank you for recommending it. I'm taking a note, and I think we should do that. And I'll talk to John Long and Glenn Peterson and Darnell and team. I think that's an excellent idea. We should do that.
Well, I think it was in 15, if my memory may serve me correct, maybe 16, but whenever it was, it was done very well. There were a lot of folks there. There were a lot of notes taken, and I just remember a lot of things that were discussed there, and we got the notes from all the other cities where we weren't. And a lot of those things were implemented, and it was just great to hear the voices shared. And I think everybody felt it was a win-win. And, you know, we got new players. We got a whole new millennial movement now that brings a whole new set of ideas, and we're moving in a different direction technologically. I just think it would be great to see looking down the road as we continue to grow our company.
I agree. Excellent input. Thank you.
Thank you for being on the call tonight.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Parrish. Next, let's go out to the state of Arizona. Another Millionaire Club member, Mr. Alex Gardner. Alex, are you on?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Moore, and thank you, Mr. Rousseau, for coming on. And I'm really fascinated with the law index, and actually noticed that starting to pop up several, it seems like, real estate and mortgage publications or websites started referencing it within the last month.
Yes.
And that was good to see. And I was just wondering, it sounds like it's a pretty organic, you know, promotion at this point. Do you see that, do you think, starting to pick up this year as far as getting some more traction in the marketplace?
You know, we actually got a lot last year. Actually, it's funny how SEO works. You know, I think the first one we published got picked up. I mean, CNBC picked it up, Bloomberg, Yahoo Finance. You know, the funny thing is, as we were talking to, it's interesting because I'm not a media guy, so I've been learning a lot as I spend time with our PR folks. And I was down in D.C. with J.C. and we were in this restaurant. And what's the guy? I think it's Chris Matthews from Hardball, who hosts that show. Mm-hmm. And we're in this restaurant. And he stops at the table and just talks. And one of the things in listening to them talk is, right now there's just so much news every day the cycle time of news is happening so quick, it's hard for anything to break through. And they said, you know, the news guys are saying they've never seen this much through any presidency ever in terms of how much happens with the president intraday, right, in terms of, because, you know, we didn't have Twitter before, right? And so it's hard to break through. So, you know, so we're pressing our PR guys. So literally we get a release out. We did the last release. I think it was picked up on the wire, and it was already out in enough outlets to be seen by 46 million people. It's just the game of what else comes out at the same time. So a lot of it's like jump rope back in the day, right? What else is happening when the rope comes around? So we just sometimes we catch a good peek, and we're out there, and we get the top of the browsers, and then sometimes we're caught in the middle of a heavy news cycle. So, but the good news is a lot of folks have been picking it up. When I get to different cities and whatnot, it's getting picked up on the wire in most cities. And right now we're really fighting hard for more TV and radio coverage. We got some good radio coverage in August and September, and we're still right now fighting hard for some TV coverage.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. And Mr. Russo, thank you for being our special guest speaker tonight. I know that 30 minutes seemed like it flew by to me. You had so much information there, and it's just great to hear from somebody at your level in corporate to actually spend a few minutes with our team. So thank you so much for helping us out tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. We look forward to seeing you next month at the convention.
Absolutely.
And I want to thank everyone for listening in tonight. Next Monday night, special guest speaker will be Legal Shield's Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Steve Williamson. So if you're a bean counter, you'll definitely want to be on that call. Ladies and gentlemen, remember this, like Mr. Moore always said, keep God first, family second, Legal Shield third, and everything will work out just fine. Good night, everyone.